Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 227 of Nerd Pride Radio. 227, well, okay, from Kyle, 227 has been mathematically proven to be the best apartment building address number. So, now, do your best Jack A. Harry impression, saying, Mary, I have never seen the show. I know Jack A. I know that high, whiny, nasally voice she's got. Mary. See, I don't even know. Me. No, that's not, I know. Doesn't sound like her. You do it.
No.
Your best Jack A impression saying Mary.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
227. It was a sitcom years ago. All black cast. Jack A. Harry was the neighbor Sandra, who I think Sandra was her name. I can't remember. But, and then the main woman was Marla Gibbs. Was it Marla Gibbs? Aiden's nodding yes, so I'm pretty sure it was.
I'm staring at you blankly because how could I possibly know about this show that stopped airing 8 years before I was born?
Oh, see, so you know when it ended. Oh my god.
Oh no, because I had looked up facts beforehand, hoping to have an actual fact to interrupt you with.
Oh,
and you came up with the same fact. So.
That's exactly right. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How you doing?
Well, that was quick. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I'm a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus... there are like 7 other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like dust of disappearance, although it does make me sneeze. Straight in the meticulously applied portion of this podcast.
Care to explain?
Dust of disappearance. It's just a magic item from Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, okay.
And you sprinkle dust over something and then it becomes invisible. It's dust of disappearance.
Oh.
You've never smelled it before, obviously. Loser. No. Okay. The meticulously plotted portion of the podcast is the time for me and my son Aiden here, where we talk about whatever's been on our minds for the last week. If something strikes us as interesting during the course of our busy, busy week, we jot that crap down in our master lists, and then the very best stuff off of those lists gets spewed out all over you guys every week when we record.
You lucky dogs.
So, straight in that master list, geez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies.
And boy, do they not.
Really?
Yeah.
I only watched one this week, and it was really good.
Yeah, all 4 of them this week are actually really high recommends.
Yeah. So what do we got?
We got Train to Busan first on the list.
Oh, I watched Train to Busan.
And real quick, for those of you who don't know, or maybe some new listeners, this segment goes from what we liked the, well, what I liked the most to what I liked the least. So, yeah, Train to Busan hits top of the list this week.
Train to Busan was so good.
Yeah. It's a South Korean movie.
Right, as opposed to all those North Korean movies that are out on Netflix right now. You have to make sure you're distinguishing between the two.
Anyway. And it's about zombies, and the majority of the movie takes place on a singular train.
Ooh, yeah. And where's that train going?
To Busan.
To Busan! And, alright, here's all I'm going to say about it, and then I'll let Aiden have his segment back. Aiden came to me and said, oh my god, you have to watch Train to Busan. He said, it is so good, I have never had a horror movie make me cry before. And I thought, giant pansy, whatever. I've seen a million horror movies. Seriously, come on. So here I am watching the South Korean subtitled zombie movie on a train. And it's a zombie movie on a train. I mean, it's not okay. But by the end of this thing, I was bawling like a baby. Oh my God, this was a good film.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to do your usual critique-y stuff?
Yeah, it's got that classic father who was never there kind of trope, and it goes through that entire stereotypical arc, but there's so many subplots that are actually well fleshed out in this movie. It does a really good job of handling a bunch of smaller stories as well as the main one.
Yeah, the characters are really well developed, like well developed enough that you feel their loss if something horrible happens to them during the zombie apocalypse. It was surprisingly good. It was, yeah, it was tropey. It was full of all sorts of stuff you've seen before, but done so well. I mean, just the tension was there. I was scared during a lot of this movie. You could just feel it. It was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
There was one other comment I was going to make about it, and I can't remember what it is now. Darn it. I don't know. It was a movie about when the shit hits the fan, what kind of person are you going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it hammered that point a little too obviously, but overall, it was a good theme, and it worked really well. I mean, when it all comes down, who are you? And this was a great film.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Very, very high recommend.
Okay. What's next?
Next up is Hush.
Okay, I've seen Hush listed in the Netflix things for months.
It looks stupid from the title card picture.
Right. That's why I keep seeing it. The picture catches my eye. I read the description and then I move on. What's the description I keep skipping?
What's
your basic summary of the film?
It's about a girl who lives alone out in the woods when a murderer traps her in her own house and tries to kill her.
Okay, is it a cabin?
I mean, sure. Okay. But here's the twist. She's deaf.
Dun, dun, dun! Okay, I remember that in the description.
Yeah, so it actually adds this whole air of there's no way she could possibly know that he's right there because she can't hear that.
Right. But once you go deaf, don't you develop like sonar or something and you can detect the vibrations bouncing off of objects?
That's extremely ableist.
I'm pretty sure that's what Daredevil did.
Yeah, except he got hit in the face with... That's blind.
Oh, damn it! Okay. Ah, shoot.
And also, that's also radioactive waste.
Crap, I'm mixing up my disabilities. Right, that was really, really insensitive of me. What superpowers do you get for being deaf, then? You can hear me. I know you can.
The ability to read Braille? I don't...
That's not a superpower. That is a really difficult acquired skill.
And that is also for blind people.
Thank you for explaining the joke, Noah.
God, I feel bad that I didn't even catch that. I'm like, you're right, deaf people in Braille. That makes perfect sense. I'm a moron. All right. Enough showing myself to be ignorant and prejudiced. So,
the next is Before I Wake.
Wait. But Hush is your number two.
Oh.
How good was it?
Oh, it was really good. Kept me on the edge of my Oculus the entire time.
So I'm guessing it is the tension of the silence.
Look
that she
behind
experienced.
You! Right. Look behind you!
Which is a good advice for any horror movie.
And like,
but
like, it's really fun to watch him rap on windows and for her not to react and him to get kind of pissed off about it.
That's cute. That's very cute. Okay, then, next was Before I Wake.
Before I Wake, yes. It's about a couple adopting a boy who has night terrors.
Okay.
And everything he dreams becomes real.
Okay, so this was a Twilight Zone episode.
No. Okay. This is a fully fledged movie.
Okay.
And I really liked this movie, and I would really highly recommend it, but I just might be a sucker for supernatural horror villains.
Okay.
It's really surreal to watch this movie and how they portray a child's mind in the real world.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Very high recommend.
I understand this is, I keep wanting more, but I realize, oh, you're not giving away spoilers.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't want to, like, give away movie plot points. Right,
because I'm so used to you giving spoilers because you don't care about spoilers for the crappy movies.
Right, right. But these are movies that I would very, very, very highly recommend you watch.
Okay. Even the last one?
Well, there's where we hit a snag.
Okay.
Because the last movie on the list is Open House. Open House was a really, really good, suspenseful kind of mystery horror.
Okay.
And it ends super stupidly.
Oh. God damn it. Now, see, and I was going to say, oh, as stupid as, and then I was going to list a movie that had that quality of a really, really horrible ending. But for the life of me, I can't come up with any.
But yeah, it ends super abruptly. It doesn't really resolve anything. You leave watching this movie thinking, well, that was a waste. Because it ends without you learning anything. You don't feel good about the person or people who win.
There's no satisfaction here.
Right.
Ah, that's a shame. But you're still saying, up until that last 5-10 minutes or whatever it is, the movie had you.
Yeah.
And then it completely flushed it all down the toilet.
Yep. Absolutely.
God, I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Well, it's alright. You still had 3 winners in this week.
Yeah.
So that's pretty solid. And I'm telling you guys, I can't speak to Hush or Before I Wake, but Train to Busan is top notch.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
And because it's a subtitled film, it's South Korean, you get to look smart to your friends. When you start talking about, oh yeah, well, I was watching this foreign horror movie the other, people love that stuff. They think you are really smart and not at all pretentious.
Yeah, bring it up at a party.
It makes you super cool. At least that's the way I use it. Because I normally I would just start smoking if I want to be cool. But apparently that's not good for my health. So instead, I bring up all the pretentious foreign films I've watched.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say drinking.
No, drinking it. God, drinking is
but,
just
you know,
so not worth it anymore.
Smoking's really bad for your health, so that's when I whip out the meth.
But when you can't smoke, I'm telling you, bump a cocaine, you're the most popular person at the party. Because all the cool people say the entire word cocaine. We don't abbreviate. That's how you know we're really deep into the culture. So, anyway, having said all of that, speaking of culture, now it's time for a Nerd Culture Report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. Okay, on this Nerd Culture Report, my son Jacob, who is the son who's not in the house with us right now, Jacob pointed out to me that there was a controversy going on about the use of the phrase no problem. And,
oh, boy.
Yes. Yeah, 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 you're familiar with this one. And it started, I think, with a guy named Alva No. No is N-O-E. But I think there's an accent on the end that isn't showing up in my notes here. So maybe Noah.
No way.
That's pretty good. Noah. So anyway, Alva No is a blog writer. And he wrote an article entitled "The Problem with No Problem." And
is there no problem with no problem?
No, apparently there's a big problem with no problem.
Oh.
And his argument.
The no problem problem?
Yes. His argument is that the phrase no problem is rude.
But it's not.
As a response to thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no problem. He feels no problem is rude. He says, you know, what's wrong with you're welcome? You're welcome. It's classic. The meaning is straightforward.
Formal and it's gross.
Right, exactly. I'm on your side, man. And to him, no problem means that the person who, you know, you say thank you, and then the person who says no problem in return, his feeling is, why are you even bringing up that there might have been a problem? Why are you bringing up that this is a, why, I mean, to him, he feels like you're introducing, conflict issues that shouldn't even have to be brought up, that shouldn't exist, and he feels he feels it is rude to say no problem. Rude to point out that it might be a problem.
Well, no, because when I say no problem, I'm saying, no skin off my nose, it didn't hurt me none.
Right. But you're implying that it might have.
No, I'm not. I am saying very definitely that it didn't.
Right. And his problem is that you should use you're welcome, or that there's lots of other responses that don't imply problems. Yeah, my pleasure. That's a great one.
No one has ever said, thank you. Well, I mean, it wasn't easy.
Right. Exactly.
That's not a thing anyone has ever said.
On the other side of this, and I'm assuming most of my listeners are millennial to Gen X's. I don't think we have a lot of baby boomers listening other than my mom. But and my mom is, while being a baby boomer, is young and hip at heart. She is down with youth culture, so she will totally understand where we're coming from. Yes. And the response is, and this is also, I mean, it's a millennial response, but it's also as a Gen Xer, it's how I feel as well, is that, no, I like no problem way better. You're welcome sounds formal. It sounds, I could say you're welcome without much trouble. Mm-hmm. I mean, it fits into my conversation, but more often when I use you're welcome, it's usually a sarcastic you're welcome. You're welcome. It's usually
I've never used you're welcome when it wasn't super sarcastic.
Right.
Oh, come on, dude. You just killed me in the game. You are welcome.
Exactly. You're welcome is sarcastic. It's formal. It's kind of, it feels a little pretentious that you're welcome is, yes, I have granted you this great boon. So therefore you should be thankful. That's what it feels like to a millennial. And I understand that to this Alva No, and other people who are bothered by the phrase no problem, I understand that to them, you're welcome does not sound that way. But to me and to a lot of others, yeah, to us, you're welcome actually sounds a little, like I say, a little pretentious, a little rude maybe. And I know it's not always, and I've used you're welcome genuinely, and I know when people are using it genuinely back to me, and I'm not terribly bothered by it, but I much prefer no problem. I use no problem myself all the time, because from the millennial viewpoint, and I keep saying like this is a millennial versus baby boomer, but it's not as simple.
It is, and we'll win. We outnumber them.
Yeah, outnumber them, and you'll outlive them. So,
yeah, they're gonna suck on the battlefield.
Yeah. But the no problem point of view is that look, no, there's no pretension here. What we're trying to say by no problem is that quite literally it's a more deferential way of saying, no, you have not in any way put me out at all. I wasn't,
right.
You know, when you say thank you and I say you're welcome as if I've granted you something. No, it's not even that I'm granting you something. It was really no problem. It was fine. It was, you know, it all worked out. We were great. I was going that way anyway. It was no skin
off
my nose.
It's my job. I am at my work. It's no problem for me because it's what I do for a living.
And the bottom line of all of this is that yes, to one group, you're welcome sounds natural and no problem feels really rude to them, really offensive, as opposed to the other side where they feel that no problem is the more polite way to go and you're welcome is sarcastic or pretentious or just rude. And the problem is if you're in the service industry, you now have to navigate that and either be able to read your audience and know who it is you're dealing with, as a lot of service centers have gone to, when you're getting support over the phone or whatever, it's, well, we're happy to be of assistance today. And they just skip the whole controversy between you're welcome and no problem. And they just go with hey, we're just happy we could help you out. That kind of thing. But either way, the core of it is that it's just evolving language. You're welcome and no problem are honestly the exact same phrase. Their purpose is not in any literal meaning, mm-hmm. although there are some things that you can read into them. There are some overtones to them, implications. But in general, they serve the exact same meaning of someone thanks you for something, and this is your polite way of acknowledging that you have been thanked. And that's all it is. It is, when someone thanks you, you are supposed to acknowledge their thank you. And that's all this is. And the one article I saw, and I can't remember who was talking about it, but one article I saw pointed out that the origin of the phrase, you're welcome, it only started, I mean, the first time it was noted in print was in 1909, which means you're welcome as a phrase probably started, you know, late 1800s, right around the turn of the century there. And so you're welcome had a good 100-year run. And no problem started in the 80s, small in the 80s, started possibly with no worries from Australia. But no problem started in the 80s and has slowly gained prominence among the newer generation. And it looks to supplant your welcome here. But, you know, before your welcome, it was my pleasure or, you know, something like that.
Which sounds even more pretentious.
Right. Well, yeah, because that's a phrase that is 100-something years out of date. And you can still use it, but it's 100-something years out of date. So as much as this guy wants to say that, no, your welcome is the proper response. Well, no, your welcome has been the proper response for about a century, and now it's fading out. And that's just how language goes, and it's no big deal. So anyway, that was my interesting bit that Jacob brought that up, and then I brought it up to Aiden, and Aiden had opinions about it as well. Yes. So I thought, hey, what a cool one for the podcast. All right. Next up, you know what? I was going to make this a nerd rage, but I don't think I'm going to rage about it right now. Do you want to talk about Facebook? I mean, we'll just leave this as a nerd culture report, but do you want to talk about Facebook at all? Do you have any comments on what's going on today?
I can talk about Facebook and the Zuck.
I am just, look, for me, it's not even outrage because there's nothing that we're learning about Facebook that we didn't already know was going on or suspect was going on, but I am telling you, I love the Mark Zuckerberg is an alien android memes because those are hysterical.
That man has no idea how to act in public.
He is. And it's terrible because we're making fun of a guy for being horribly socially awkward, which is, you know, probably part of why he started Facebook in the first place as a way to meet women.
Yeah.
But he's also, one of the richest, most powerful men on the planet right now. So I feel like mocking him is probably okay.
Right.
Because the man does,
end up like him.
The man does control the world. So, you know, we can pick on him a bit, but oh my God, the guy is funny.
Did you see that, he was on a booster seat the entire court case?
The guy brought a cushion because he's going to be in one of those hard chairs hard ass chairs, but that is where your ass goes, so that seemed a little weird. He's in one of those hard chairs being interviewed for hours at a time. Yeah, so he brought a cushion.
But it looks like a booster seat. Like the Zuck is tiny.
And Zuckerberg said that, oh no, that's my wallet. So. Which is, I don't know if I stole that from Seth Meyers or from one of the late night shows. Anyway, I thought that was a cute joke. But the thing I was going to rant about on Nerd Rage was I watched a video, again, from Jacob. Jacob has provided some really good material this week. I wish he'd listened. It would be cool if he would listen to us. I mean, now that you're on, I mean, I understand when it was just his dad. But now that you're on the show and he still won't listen, does he hate us?
I don't think it's now. I think it's been a thing.
So he's always hated us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But he sent me this
bit. I can say those things because he won't hear them.
That's right. No, that's why I make fun of Flame all the time. So, I'm sorry, Flame. I know one day we're going to have transcription services for this show and you're going to read back through all of this and you those motherfuckers. I cannot believe they, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Flame. That was just rude. So here's the bit is that Jacob sends me this video and is a guy who he's recording and he's got his microphone open and he says, all right, I am going to go out to a dozen different websites and look and see what kind of advertising I'm getting on these websites. And then I'm going to close out my browser and then I am going to have a conversation about something I've never searched for before, something that I've, and he's holding up a sign that says dog toys, so that he doesn't have to say it out loud. He holds up the sign that says dog toys. He says, I don't even have one of those that I would need this stuff for it. I don't, so the guy has no pets, no dog, and he's holding up this sign that says dog toys. And he says, but I'm gonna, you know, after I check the ads, I'll shut off my browser and then I will have a 2-minute conversation about that topic. And then we'll reopen the browser and go back to those same websites and see what kind of ads they offer me. And so he does this. And when he first opens up, he's got ads for some very ordinary stuff, travel sites or whatever. And then he closes them down, and then he has a 2-minute conversation about dog toys and different types of dog toys and what colors he'd like and how much his dog would love them and where should I go shopping for these? Cause, you know, I want to get a good price on these and I want something affordable. He makes this, you know, this whole conversation about it. And then he immediately turns around, opens his browser back up, and so goes to the exact same set of websites and he pulls it up and sure enough, very first one, dog toys advertised right at the top.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then, this is where he screws up, is one of them comes up with dog toys, and he's already opened a bunch of sites, so he's already got them started, but he clicks on one of the dog toy ads, and the minute he does that, I'm like, oh, well, now you've tainted the rest of them, because you clicked on one. Now they've seen your behavior, they know that you were interested in the ad by clicking on it, you dumbass. But, but he at least had already started the process of getting the others open ahead of time, so hopefully the ads were already loaded. But then he flips through, and sure enough, a bunch of them, not all of them, but a bunch of them do have dog toy ads, and it's mostly the ones with Google Ads on them. So even when his browser was turned off, Google was still listening through his microphone, and thus the dramatic result that we saw. Now, having said that, and it's something that I've always suspected anyway, but having said that, we just tested that out before we started recording here. We had a long conversation about building a deck and the kind
power
of power tools that we'd need, especially I need a power sander. Oh my god, a power sander. And then Aiden says nail gun. I'm like, oh my god, we need a nail gun. And we had this whole long conversation about power tools. And then we opened it up and I didn't get any ads that were feeding into any of that garbage. The ads were still feeding into, tax time stuff because we just did Aiden's taxes. And so it was giving me ads for H&R Block and TurboTax. And it gave me ads for stuff that I've just purchased recently. Certainly it's advertising for my Instant Pot, which by the way is awesome, you guys. And a bunch of stuff like that, but it was very ordinary and there was not a hint of power tools, power sander, no nail guns, darn it, nothing. So the experiment was not repeatable on my end, but then I also don't know because I had already plugged in my microphone for the podcast and I don't know if it could hear us yet because I don't know if anything was activated. So hard to say. So had our experiment been more successful, I would have come in here with a giant nerd rage about how they're listening in on us, and I know they're listening in, or that they have the ability to. And for certain, I mean, if you have Alexa, if you use your Google, I mean, you know, and I never think about it. I never use the Google speech function. I never ask Google anything out loud. I always type. But you know. Google homepage always has the little microphone on it. It's right there next to the search box. So, I mean, is it listening to me anyway?
Yes, all the time.
So, you know, Siri, Alexa, Google, all of these, they all have that ability. And, I mean, if they're listening for their name, then they absolutely have to be listening to everything you say all the time. And some of it is recorded, some of it is preserved, and they swear it's anonymized and it's not tied back to you, except, you know, in as much as their advertising to you can be considered anonymous, I suppose. But anyway, that was going to be my rant, but it would have been a lot more effective if I could have pulled off this guy's, well, not proved it, but it, yes,
right.
But yes, I get if I had gotten some confirmation for that guy's theory, and there's lots of reasons why it might not have worked for me. One, they might not be listening. Two, they might not have been able to hear me specifically because of the way my microphone is wired up. Who knows? So, but you know, they're listening. So that's all I really had.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else about Facebook? About?
No.
All right. Well, sorry, this one kind of petered out, guys, but, you know, sometimes it happens. Hey, wait. We do have another segment though.
Do we?
Yes. Yes, we do. Hold on. I'll let you read it.
And now it's time for yet another 80s movie that my dad swears used to be wicked awesome.
It was awesome in the 80s, but not anymore. It was awesome in the 80s, but not today.
Yes, this is awesome in the 80s. My dad, who is old, picks out a movie from the 80s that he loved back when he was a kid. Then we watch it together, and I tell him why he's wrong. What did we watch this week?
We watched Bachelor Party!
And why was it so awesome in the 80s?
It was a gross-out comedy from the 80s, and when I was a kid, I saw it probably for the first time when I was 13 or 14, which was the perfect age to be seeing that because it was the funniest thing we'd ever seen in our lives. It was hysterical, and we must have watched that film a dozen times, easily, because we loved Bachelor Party. Bachelor Party was hysterical. That's why it was awesome in the 80s. So.
And, we watched it, and, you know, hold up about 10%.
So, 10 out of 10? You're saying you loved it?
1 out of 10.
It was so bad, guys.
It was so, so bad.
I'm gonna tell you, there were about 3 genuine laughs through the course of that movie. Alright? There were about 3 moments where even Aiden was a little caught off guard and laughed out loud because, okay, that was funny. But 3 out of an entire hour and a half movie
isn't good enough.
Is not a comedy. So,
3 laughs does not a comedy make.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I knew it wasn't going to be good. Like in my memory, as much as I know I loved this movie when I was a kid, back in the 80s, I can remember the entire movie. I know the whole movie in my head. And as I'm remembering it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be so bad. This is bad. Some of these movies, I can't quite tell how they're going to hold up. Adventures in Babysitting, I had no idea. Top Gun, not a clue.
Yep.
Real Genius, even. I was really doubtful about Real Genius.
I loved Real Genius.
Right, exactly. But this one, I knew was going to be terrible, and I was so right.
And let's talk about people I recognized.
Oh, okay. All right. People that you recognized from this movie, you obviously recognize the main character, Rick. Played by Tom Hanks. But Tom Hanks, three-time Best Actor Oscar winner Tom Hanks. He was in The Terminal. He was Joe versus the Volcano. Castaway.
Okay, yeah, got it.
Wait, I hadn't yet gotten to, yeah, Woody from Toy Story? Oh my god, Tom Hanks was Woody from Toy Story? So, yes, no, he knows who Tom Hanks is. You know, Colin Hanks' dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, okay, but other than that, Adrian Zemed, he was the host of Solid Gold. He was gonna be the next John Travolta.
Isn't John Travolta already the next John Travolta?
Yeah, actually, he turned out to be, yes. Poor Adrian Zemed. Okay, the girl at least, Tawny Katane? Tawny Katane. She was, you know the Whitesnake videos? You know who Whitesnake is?
Yes.
The band? Okay. The Whitesnake videos where she's dancing and she's like sprawled out across the top of the cars.
Yes.
And yes, here I go again on my own?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. When we had this conversation the first time, when we had it for real, and he really had no idea who Tawny Katane was, I like got as far as Whitesnake, the videos where she's dancing, and then he's still just staring at me, and I finally go, here I go again on my own. And he's like, oh, that one, I know that one. Like, apparently someone has to have mocked that somewhere that he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
I mean, so, my old boss showed me that video because he was way into hard rock because he thought he was a guitar genius.
Yes, and Whitesnake would be the epitome of hard rock, so very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Tawny Katane, that's really about it. I mean, there's no... Yeah. Oh, wait, no. And we recognized the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
The bad guy
from Real Genius.
It was the same tall, blonde bad guy from Real Genius, which, until seeing Bachelor Party this time, apparently it had been so long since I'd seen Bachelor Party, I didn't remember that was the same guy. I never knew that until this viewing. So that was pretty cool.
Stuff you can't get away with today. That weak-ass crossbow.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about this. There's a lot of really unreal things in this movie.
Yeah.
But, geez, Aiden, what was the one moment that finally broke this movie for you and you went, no, this is all bullshit now?
So the main villain is trying to kill Tom Hanks with a crossbow from one window of a building to another building. And he fires the crossbow, and, like, the crossbow sticks, like, a millimeter into the wall.
Yeah, this crossbow bolt is maybe all of 9 inches long, and it thunks into the wall next to Tom Hanks' head, and it literally, the tip of that crossbow is maybe a couple of millimeters into the wall. That's about it.
And it's somehow still staying in the wall, and I'm thinking, that's supposed to kill Tom Hanks?
Right.
That'd be more like, ah, stop.
Right. Maybe you could put an eye out with it?
Maybe.
But I mean, he would have been better off with a BB gun. That's
yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. It was, okay, the crossbow, no, here's the things you couldn't get away with today.
Donkey sex.
Right. The donkey being brought into the party, as part of a sex show. That's pretty out there. The
misogyny.
The hardcore misogyny throughout this entire film. The open use of drugs such that this is a party where they just had
enough drugs to literally kill a mule.
Right. They had lines of coke just waiting on the counter for any mule that comes by, along with these piles of pills and this other. It was like an open bar of drugs just laid out. That's not something you would see nowadays.
So we're getting prostitutes a thing about bachelor parties in the 80s? Because I know about strippers.
Look,
but
in the 80s, the only thing I knew about bachelor parties was what I learned from the movie Bachelor Party. So therefore, yes, getting hookers for your bachelor party was clearly a thing, because that's the only thing I knew about bachelor parties back then. That's true. Noah's right. They said right there in the movie that hookers are tradition, and Tawny Katane would never lie to us. Okay.
The Chippendale scene with the hot dog. You couldn't get away with that now, could you?
That was a little sexual assaulty, yeah. That was,
They literally traumatized the girlfriend's mom.
Yes, she was. I'm sorry, she had strange Wang PTSD. It was, yeah, they traumatized her badly. No, the part that I was most shocked about is, and I remember this scene clearly from when I watched it as a kid, but it never occurred to me then, but I'm watching now, and okay, we've got this party where there are topless women everywhere, there is a stripper,
oh, yeah,
a stripper and a mule,
and then
there are drugs laid out on the counter everywhere,
and then prom kids show up.
The door, knock at the door, we open it up, and it is very clearly high school prom kids. Who I'm guessing their prom is over, they've come to the hotel to get laid, but they heard a party, and so here they are in their prom dresses and 80s pastel blue prom tuxes. They're clearly 17-year-old kids who just came from prom, and the guy flings the door open, and he's like, come on in! And so now they've got a bunch of 16 and 17-year-olds in their wild drug sex party with a mule. I am so sure that would not happen today. Oh, God, it was bad. It was so bad.
Yeah.
I can't even... I'm actually kind of embarrassed for how much I used to like this film.
The surprisingly heavy Indian racism.
Yeah. Hey, it's not funny. That's bad. Which, by the way, in addition to the problem with No Problem, we also just recently have seen the article, the Trouble with Apu. So...
Yeah.
Apu is the racist portrayal of an Indian convenience store owner from The Simpsons, as portrayed by white guy Hank Azaria. And, you know, Apu was seemingly progressive, you know, 20-some years ago, when almost 30 years ago, when he first appeared on The Simpsons. But changing times have required that really Apu needs to be phased out, because it's racist, and it's... it's how most people, how a lot of white people are introduced to what Indian people are like in this country is through Apu. and and thus the fact that people will shout Apu at random Indian people that they don't know, or just brown people who look like they might be Indian, and call them Apu and do the caricature of his accent, which is already a caricature of a bad Indian accent, is problematic. That Simpsons has shaped people enough, and for them to simply shrug and go, well, it was a different time, but they're not actually changing it or doing anything to fix it, is a little problematic. All right, but that's beside the point. They had basically Apu as a pimp, which, again, the funny juxtaposition was this guy who looks like Gandhi, had the dot on his forehead, and
It wasn't a dot, it was a tattooed star.
Right, and the terrible, terrible Indian accent, but he's acting as a pimp, and he's saying all of your typical pimp things about his bitches and his money, and threatening to have them roughed up and killed if they don't get his bitches back in time, and this kind of thing. And that was the comedy, is that you would not expect that sort of language in that accent. And it is just unfunny and terribly racist nowadays.
Oh, and donkey murder.
Donkey murder is not bad. That I can see. Dead equines is always funny. Have you not seen Animal House?
I've seen Animal House.
Dead equines, always funny. Have you not seen The Godfather? Horse's head in your bed.
I'm trying to find what
always you think. Always funny. That's a... You can't go wrong with a dead equine. That's all I'm saying. The movie Equus, or not movie, the play Equus.
But, yeah.
That Harry Potter starred in.
Sorry, Harry Potter starred in the movie that isn't Harry Potter?
No, well, yeah, he's actually starred in several movies that aren't Harry Potter, but actually Daniel Radcliffe, who played Harry Potter, was one of his first projects after Harry Potter was he was in a play called Equus, and it is about a kid who is seeing a therapist because he is sexually attracted to horses, and it winds up with him naked on stage covered in blood, and there's lots of horse murder. So... funny, right? Super funny? Is that? I think I'm reading the tone of this play correctly. I've never actually seen it. I'm pretty sure I'm right. So.
Anyway, really, you can't get away with the entire movie.
Yeah, it was really bad. So, does it hold up? I think we've answered that.
No.
How would you remake it for today?
Give it to Jonah Hill.
Yeah, well, and that's
throw it away entirely.
And that's exactly what it comes down to is, yeah, you give it to Jonah Hill, you give it to that group, and their style of gross out comedy, even though they keep trying to turn to some more serious stuff. But you could do it nowadays.
Wouldn't that be that Baywatch kind of hangover kind of comedy?
I was going to say, The Hangover does exactly this sort of humor. The Hangover was a bachelor party, that got out of hand. Now, Hangover has a very specific theme of, you know, the amnesia and rediscovery, but it could certainly be done in that vein, and people have redone this type of movie a million times. So should you? Eventually someone's gonna.
No,
although, man, I heard someone talk about, they did on the show Dead Pilot Society, where they just play, they act out pilot episodes that got ordered and written, but never actually filmed, and got canceled before they were ever even made. And then they do a table read of these pilots for TV. And one of them was a pilot for Bachelor Party, the TV series. I don't get it either, guys. They explained their whole premise that it was, they have this bachelor party, and well, now it's going to be a bachelor / bachelorette party, so there's two, I don't remember how it's going on. And how do you turn that into an entire season of a show? And then what do you do after the first season? I don't get it.
Just have him constantly almost getting married.
But a network actually bought that. Bought it, ordered it, they had it all written out, they had stuff lined up, and then at the last minute someone went, oh yeah, we've gone in a different direction, sorry, but thanks for your time. So it almost got remade as a TV show. I can't even imagine how that would work out. I'm baffled. So, all right. Well, that's it. That's all we've got for the Meticulously Plotted portion of the podcast. I think we're done. Is it time to go home?
No, it's actually time for the
Podomatic. Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Podomatic. At the end of every cast, we bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about, and Aiden, I suppose. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you guys come in. If you want to hear us haver on about something, you send your question or topic to us by email at mike@nerdprideradio.com, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, nerdprideradio.com/nerds. We'll add it to our Podomatic list because Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. What's our first number? I can't see in the dark.
It is 62.
62. And that is from?
62, male.
You can't do it for every number. It's from Produce Farmer.
You want to bet?
Produce Farmer says, when was the last time you ate a piece of fruit on its own, i.e. not part of another dish?
Earlier today.
Really, what piece of fruit did you eat?
A banana at work.
Really? Mine was also a banana, and it was Tuesday. So, there you go. And it was pretty good.
And, and by earlier today, I mean, 1:30 in the morning.
Yes, well, that was still today. So, pretty good. 70? 70. All right, cool. I can read in the dark. I
70!
Was wrong before.
Yeah.
It's from, see, told you you couldn't. It's from Ronster. Ron says, if Hogwarts houses were reduced to only two, which houses would absorb which?
Ravenclaw would absorb Hufflepuff.
He says, I'm pulling for Slytherclaw, personally. Just saying.
No, Slytherpuff.
No, seriously, Slytherpuff would be... Oh my god, that would be so great.
Their symbol would just be a really fluffy snake.
It would be a snake with badger claws. How scary is that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, see, I'm telling you, that's pretty bad. So then you'd have Gryffindor and Ravenclaw together.
And it's just a griffin again,
Right.
Ravendor!
Ravendor, there you go.
half bird.
We're done. What is that? Is that 30 or 50?
30, female.
All right, I have got to move this microphone or the laptop or something because I can't reach my keys. There we go. 30 is from... it's from Talvin! Oh, Talvin's so cool. What is the strangest thing that has happened to you in the past week? Go on, Aiden.
Oh, just last night at 3 in the morning... I get a call at work. I work at a pizzeria. And the guy on the other end of the line asks, do you guys deliver?
At 3 in the morning?
I'm like, not at this hour. You don't. Oh, he's like, oh, yeah, probably with the storm, yeah. Like, no, because our delivery hours stop at 9:15 p.m.
Nice.
What kind of madman would deliver a pizza at 3 in the morning?
Look, Well, I'm sure there are lots of big cities that have pizza delivery in the middle of the night. Certainly, cities where the bars don't ever close, or bars don't close till 5 in the morning or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, in this town, the guy's nuts. Absolutely nuts. How desperate was he that, I don't know, let's call down there and just see if they'll just bring us a pizza. Maybe.
That he settled on coming and getting it.
At the very
tail end of my shift, I was gone before I even got to see him. But I suspect he was,
He had to be really drunk or really high.
Yeah.
That would be why he was trying to convince someone to deliver him a pizza at that hour.
Yeah.
So, hold on. All right, Noah has an answer. What is the strangest thing that happened to you in the last week, Noah?
Losing my job at Nintendo.
I thought that was your friend's dad who worked at Nintendo.
I thought that was me, though.
No, I actually learned that he didn't.
Oh, see, Noah went and got a job at Nintendo just so he could prove his friend wrong?
I thought it was me that had the job at Nintendo, and I got fired for abusing the office horse.
Oh, yeah, the office horse.
Oh, God, that's right.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy's doing fine.
Wow. All right.
63. Dude.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you were going to say cheese.
Why?
I don't know. I just had this vision in my head that you were going to go 63. Jeez. I don't know. God, it would have been so cool if it had happened. I would have lost my frickin' mind if you had said cheese at that moment. because there's no way that that was going to be your answer. Kyle says, you have the ability to make other people invisible for 38 minutes at a time, but then they become visible again and your power doesn't work on them again for 48 hours. You can use this power on as many people as you want at any one time. You cannot use it on yourself. What do you do with it?
I make a shield of people around me and make them all invisible so that I in the middle will also be invisible.
No.
No?
No, no. People would see straight through to where you are.
Yeah, then, but I'd be bulletproof.
And then, and then they'd try and shoot you. And then, now, would the blood from the invisible people still be invisible when they're bleeding? Or would you just see fountains of blood?
I would say that the blood is also invisible, because if it wasn't, then you'd see their blood vessels.
No, but I mean, once it leaves their body, does it?
No, because you cast, let's say, a cylinder of invisibility over this person.
Okay.
Everything within that cylinder is now invisible.
Okay.
So even if it leaves the cylinder, it is still imbued with invisibility.
Okay.
Wait, so...
I understand that.
Technically, with that logic, couldn't you just walk next to a person that's invisible?
No.
Okay. Me, personally, I would get myself a cadre of Oliver Twist-style orphans that I would then make invisible to go out and rob people for me. And then they would bring all the goods back to me, and then I would abuse them and keep it all for myself.
God, you gotta be real quick about it, because you only get it for 38 minutes.
That's all they need. It's not like it's that tough.
God, could you imagine getting mugged by a gaggle of invisible orphans?
No, never mugged. Never mugged. Look, at this point, you don't even have to mug people. You can just send invisible orphans into stores to just carry the goods out with them. I mean, it's
Wait,
not that...
Wait, when the people see the...
They might be suspicious.
But no one will ever believe them.
Right. Or I could walk into the store with the kid and then let him load himself up, and then I make him invisible so all the goods are invisible with him, and then he just walks out. And then, you know, I can walk out whenever.
Yeah.
So, wouldn't be bad. Look, either way, I just want an army of orphans that I can abuse and send out to steal stuff for me. That's what I want. And when I say abuse, I mean mostly I would just starve them and probably beat them. That's how to keep them in line.
And 45!
I wasn't done talking about the orphans. Alright. 45.
Oh, no.
45 is from Ronster again. And Ron says, did you ever belong to a Columbia House mail subscription service for cassettes, CDs, or VHS tapes? How many did you get, and how long did you keep it going? I did, and I joined that in college, because you're not aware of this, but when you were in college, you could get 12 CDs for a penny. Yes, 12 CDs for a penny, and then your commitment to just buy 6 more CDs at regular full price... And then you can cancel it any time after that. And it was a scam. Yes.
You do realize that nowadays we can get that much music worth of CD.
Here's the thing.
That much CD worth of music for free, right?
Right. And the trick, well, if you're stealing. But the trick is...
Or, you know, Spotify.
You would buy your 12 CDs for a penny. And then every month they would send you a card. And if you didn't send the card back, then, because you had to send the card back to say, no, I do not want this month's selection. And if you didn't send it back in time, then they'd mail you one. And then you'd have to pay that price for it. And then they would, through the course of this offer, they would offer you all sorts of sale prices where you could buy stuff at half price. You could buy one, get one free, whatever. But whenever you use those offers, well, it didn't count towards your 6 that you have to buy at full price.
Right.
And the full price ones were, you know, I could go out and buy a CD for like $15, or I could get the full price one for $22, $25. So I'm paying way overpriced for the full price ones.
Why would you do that?
Because when you do the math in your head and you're thinking, look, 12 free ones and then 6 full price ones, and you're not considering how much full price is, but gosh, even if they're overpriced, it's still a good deal in the end, but in between, they're just ripping you off here and there, and it's mostly counting on the fact that it's going to be ordered by a bunch of lazy college kids who will screw this up and wind up owing them a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And they were right. Ultimately, yeah, I got my 12 for a penny, and then I bought the 6 at full price, and then in between there, I probably had a grand total of, you know, another 15 or 20 CDs I bought from them when I could find something that looked like a good sale price. But I don't remember the details. It was a long time ago. So, although I was just downstairs looking for our marriage certificate in our file of important papers, and while I was looking through there, I did find, among old bills and receipts, this is a cabinet that it was the old filing system we used to use, and we moved to a new filing system, but we kind of just left that old stuff sitting there. And I found a receipt from Columbia House from 1997 explaining how many CDs I still had to purchase before my obligation was fulfilled.
So, really?
Yeah.
You still owe Columbia House money?
Yeah. I literally just saw that. It was from 1997, so it was 21 years ago. But I saw that receipt like literally just 3 days ago. I happened to see that. So yes.
Is Columbia House still in business? Can you give them?
I imagine they're not. No. I'm sure I paid it off and closed down that account before, you know, before now. Obviously, mm-hmm. At some point I did, but in 1997 it was still open.
99.
How many of these can we do, Aiden? You're the one who's got to get moving here soon.
I'd say one more after this.
Okay. You got it. This one's from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, do you prefer spiral or sewn, like composition style, notebooks? I prefer spiral notebooks to the composition style notebooks. I think the composition ones look better.
It's spiral or sewn. Composition is just...
Composition. It says composition style.
Like the composition style, how the ring is composed.
No.
Either spiral or sewn.
No. Like the black composition notebooks you can get that don't have any spiral, it's just actually a bound
edge. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I feel like those, every time I've had a composition notebook, I'm pretty hard on my notebooks, and, if it's a spiral one, then yeah, some of the spirals get a little, the wire gets a little bent and I have to straighten them out. And so sometimes mm-hmm. it's a little awkward. But when it's a composition one, eventually I put enough wear on it that the binding just kind of, pages are just going to start falling out of it. It never quite holds together. So I would rather have the spiral notebook if I had to make the choice between the two. But, you know, and as long as it's a good spiral that still has perforated sheets. So if I have to tear something out, you tear all that raggedy crap off the edge. So that's fine by me. All right, last one according to Aiden.
Oh, that's 33. We're running doubles. We're about to get caught for speeding in Monopoly.
That's exactly true. 33 is Eliahad. Eliahad says, green beer? Green anything, really. Should we be adding food coloring to foods just to be appropriate to the holiday at hand?
I mean, yes, but no.
Yeah, it's. I'm thinking about this going, I don't have an opinion. I mean,
do what you want. I'm not going to yell at you for drinking colored beer.
Except green eggs and ham. Terrible. Never liked it. I'm not even going to try it. That's what I'm saying. Green eggs and ham, horrible.
I mean,
it's an affront to God.
Would you try it on a boat?
No, I would not try it on a boat.
Would you try it with this goat?
It is a cute goat.
That would have been a much different children's book.
I mean, maybe the goat and I could just go for drinks before we just jump right into green eggs
and
ham.
You know, Aquinas is already a play, right?
Yeah, Equus. Equus was
Except it's now a goat.
Right, the goat version would be Capricus, I guess? Anyway, that's stupid. All right, sorry. Was that the last one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that was the last one. And that means it's time to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this week's episode. So far, you see how I don't ring it again when you say we don't have enough time? Yeah, see how that goes?
Except we're not actually crunched for time when I do it.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was, No. What was the first set? No. Oh, I guess we didn't have any. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them on my podcast if I didn't.
All those songs
love
you
them.
Don't use.
Don't forget this podcast is a Oh, darn it. I can't do that segment either.
Why is it even on the script anymore?
Because, why does it still say copyright 2017? Because I'm lazy. So if you want to help out Nerd Pride, then subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use and write us a nice review or write me a crappy review and talk trash about me. I don't care as long as you give it 5 stars because that's what makes the difference. If you want to do something super nice, recommend it to your friends. Seriously, you're enjoying this podcast and clearly you are enjoying it. So spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth. It's my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, just like Kyle did my work for me and gave me a great nerd fact for the episode number. You can also send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and Facebook for listener betrayal. Help me out, guys. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact.
Is it really that grueling? You spend 5 minutes Googling the episode number, and if you can't find anything, you just give up.
It is mental torture. You clearly, you know what? Kyle has already sent up all the way up through 230, so you're safe there. But for 231, that's your job. You find me.
Cool.
A nerd fact that isn't some stereotypical nerd fact piece of garbage like I've used a million times before, because there's some really easy ones. You have to do better than that.
Okay.
All right. I'm holding you to this. 231.
Yep.
Okay. My contact information, Mike at Nerd Pride Radio, at Nerd Pride Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/NerdPrideRadio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at NerdPrideRadio.com/nerds. You sign up there, you send me a message. No, send me a message. Yeah, then we'll hang out together. Oh, we'll become best friends in the world.
We'll have fun.
And now it's time for listener betrayal.
Again?
Shut up. I forgot to take it off mute. Before we start recording every podcast, we go out to the forums and Facebook and, I don't know, Aiden's private mail list that he won't let me be a part of. And
I have messaged you several times.
We let everybody know that we are recording. Anything that they want to say will become a part of this podcast. So that's what we're doing right now. And we will read it all off because, sadly, from my website, once again, nothing. Look, guys, tell me, when is the best time for me to be recording? When is the best time for you to contribute listener betrayal to my show? Because, this is like 3 in a row that I'm getting almost nothing from the forums. So clearly my timing is bad. We shouldn't be recording on Saturday. That's what it is.
Yeah. Private message Mike, text me, call either one of us if you have the ability to.
Right. Let us know. Let us know when a good time for this is or when, how we could make this work a little better for you. Because my question there on the forums was, hey, how's the winter storm going for you? And, I was really excited to hear because, you know, ours now has finally kicked up some snow and it's kind of blinding out there and it's going to be really tough for Aiden to get to work. But hey,
yeah,
whatever. Hopefully it's a slow night for him, but we'll see.
No, don't hope for a slow night.
I mean,
they're already slow.
Hopefully it's really busy for him and he has stuff to do. Whew, that would be the best.
I mean, I do have to clean the fryer tonight.
On the other hand, on Facebook, I posted up that we are recording, and I said, also, with all the recent news, have you considered deleting Facebook? Why haven't you yet? And my Facebook listeners reply with, well, it's just Sarah Beth. Sarah Beth says, I would love to delete Facebook. Considered it for years. If so many people didn't plan every event on it, I would. But probably 70% of the things in my social circle are planned on this platform, and it's where most of my relatives post the pictures of their families. If everyone went to Instagram for pics and back to email or another better platform for parties and events and so on, I'm in. Yeah, see, I have quit using Facebook mostly for posting anything. I don't go in and read Facebook on a regular basis.
I only use Facebook so that I can use the associated Messenger app.
Yeah, I love the Messenger app. Darn it. But, yeah, I mean, look, it'll be eventually, you know, if we just find another good messaging application that tells us when people are around and gives us, you know, the ability to create and maintain shared conversations and this kind of stuff, and I'm sure there's plenty of them out there. It would just be a matter of talking everyone into using them. But the main reason for Facebook is it is where I do stuff for my podcast, and that's a lot of people that I've heard talk about it, public figures talking about it, are saying that, yeah, but I need to maintain Facebook because it's part of my online presence, and there are some people for where Facebook is the primary way that they reach out to those fans of theirs, or those customers of theirs. Mm-hmm. Or so, you know, if you've got a business that requires contacting people, you can't get out of Facebook. You got to stay there. So, which, you know, for me, it's just a cheap excuse because, I mean, I could still get rid of my personal account, but I don't, at least not yet. So we'll see. All right. But I would also like to point out that, while this timing has not worked out for you guys for listener betrayal, last week's listener betrayal, all of a sudden they piled in a ton of stuff after the bell on that one. I called done and then people wound up responding to it afterwards. So, how late was Phoebe on this one? Let's see. I closed it out last week on the 7th at 4 in the afternoon, and about 8 hours later, Phoebe finally came in and said, too late for listener betrayal, but, okay, what was the question? Noah wants to know if you have any odd ways to deal with anger and frustration in a game. He's talking about video games, but it can be any game. Phoebe says, I have played lots of games with people who get angry or frustrated, and I think the reason I never do is I grew up playing games with my grandma, who would always laugh at the outcome regardless of whether it was good or bad for her personally. Oh, that's cool. The fun of the game was found in the playing of it. She didn't really care what the outcome was. However, she was also very smart, and she told me that if she was patient and kept in a good humor, she would often learn something about the game or the people she was playing with that would help her win next time. And indeed, she won more often than not. So I took that message of biding your time with patience and humor leads to winning in the end. So, for example, I had to lose a couple of games of Risk and Monopoly to my husband, or some other people, before everyone in the house, except my husband, realized that I was the only trustworthy partner with whom you could make a deal. Woo. So, Talvin says, I missed out, but I saw that Noah's question on Facebook was, look at this, I mean, Facebook responses, here on the forums. Noah wanted to know what the scariest thing that happened to you when you were a little kid was. And he says, I don't know if it was that young, but my family took a summer vacation to Arizona. We were visiting the cliff dwellings, and I got separated from my family. We were in a museum looking at exhibits. I turned around, and the next thing I know, everybody's gone. I start wandering around looking for them and ended up taking a tour of the cliff dwellings with some other group, all the while looking around for my family. When the group got back from touring the cliff dwellings, I found my family, and I got in trouble for wandering off, even though they were the ones who wandered off and left me behind in the first place. Then I had to take another tour of the cliff dwellings with my family, which wasn't quite as fun, but was amusing because my older sister was afraid of heights and had a really hard time climbing down some of the ladders. See, that's a cute one. That ended well. And then Phoebe, worst small kid fear thing. Attacked by another child and chased by that kid's angry dog. Shortly after that was overly proximate to the tornado whilst in a car, and that was very bad too. Another time, stitches on my face while awake, which is not desired. And once, a mean old lady stopped her car in the street to say she was going to call the police on my friend and I if we didn't stop bullying this other kid, which apparently she didn't know the other kid was actively the violent bully that we wished to avoid and from whom we were trying to defend ourselves in the first place. After that, we were both afraid that either the police were coming for us or that the other kid would somehow use this to hurt us. Wow, Phoebe led a really difficult childhood.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Bad day?
Well, bad childhood, clearly. So, anyway, that's what I've got. Now, let's get to current stuff. That's the old last week answers to stuff.
Alright, so I asked our listeners to, I said, my dad and I are recording the podcast. If there's anything you'd like us to say, or if there's anything you'd like to say or have us say, now's the time. But this week, say something to blow our minds. And my friend Stephanie replies with, trying to think of something to say, like shopping for groceries with a flamethrower, but it wouldn't really work and sounds quite messy.
Okay, mind not exactly blown, but
next is from Emily.
Oh, hey, I know Emily.
Mind blow. She missed hearing me on the podcast last week.
Aww.
Thanks. The next one is from Emily.
Okay.
Got any tips for role-playing the opposite gender? I'm going to play a dude in an upcoming Call of Cthulhu one-shot. The trick I use is either pick a stereotype, like the angsty teenager or something like that, that can apply to both genders, or just play someone you know.
Yeah, look, my trick is to just play as a person. And, you know, I mean, look, my character Dothan has been, you know, this is 4 years of this, and I love playing Dothan. She is awesome. I'm not always great at staying in character. I try, but it's very easy, especially, you know, when you've got puzzles to face and this kind of stuff, it's easy to kind of forget that you're supposed to be in character. But, in general, I was just playing a person, and specifically, I wanted to play someone who was ADHD, uh-huh. with, you know, high intelligence, high energy, very young, but no wisdom score whatsoever, so constantly getting herself into trouble and into bad decisions. And playing someone with ADHD, that's a personality type that I'm familiar with. That's people I know. That's someone I can play, and it really didn't matter if it was male or female. It's just a matter of playing that. Uh-huh. So, I don't know. My best advice is, you know, like I was worried when you said pick a stereotype. I'm like, no, you don't want to, but a stereotype that can apply to any.
Right.
It's something that is gender neutral. That's really about it, is play an interesting character regardless of whether.
Exactly.
Or if you happen to know somebody and you find their personality interesting enough, good or bad, that you just want to play that type of person. I've long wanted to play, a young dude who just misguided, that this is a guy who is socially awkward and just truly, truly believes that the answer to all of his problems is finding himself someone to love. God, if he could just get himself a girlfriend or a boyfriend, whatever, yeah, I'm not, his preferences don't really matter in this particular one, but God, if he could just find, a romantic relationship, that would be the answer to everything. Suddenly he'd be a better person and everything would work out for him, and just someone really naive, who puts all this stock into the idea of finding love, not realizing what that means. And I think that would be kind of cool. I mean, cause there's, you know, some autobiographical stuff in there of being a naive teenager myself once upon a time, but also, playing out certain people and characters that I've known in real life, who clearly have built this up to be too much, and it would be an interesting character to play, I think. But, you know, something like that. You pick something that is familiar to you and that you think you'd be good at.
So. The next one is from Emily.
Hey, Emily! Sweet.
She says, also, I think Little 12 Toes was for learning multiplication by 12 and not base 12. Could be wrong, though. I'm going to tell you, you are, because I actually remember Little 12 Toes from elementary school.
Yes. And it probably also did have multiplication by 12 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the comparison was, wow, multiplication by 12s would be so much easier if we used base 12. And then they explained what base 12 was. But I think you're right. I think we're both right in that, they did explain, base 12 and the ability to count in base 12. And they explained the names of the new digits and how you'd work all that out. But also it was about multiplication as well. So. Mm-hmm. We'll call that a compromise.
The next one is from Emily.
Oh, good. Better than that, Emily.
Did you do anything with Reddit's Circle of Trust, and how inferior is it compared to Place? I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
Thank God, I thought it was just me.
I know about Reddit's Circle of Trust, but the rest of that sentence just... Reddit's Circle of Trust is a little URL that is you. And you can send it to your friends, and they can either join or betray you. If you get betrayed, you lose everyone.
Really?
Yep. And so you get points based on whatever. But it's super risky.
Wow.
It's like a game you can play on Reddit that takes weeks to play.
Wow. Okay. Speaking of which, I just was using Write or Die this week. If you go to writeordie.com, the object is you set... in how much time you would like to spend writing and how many words you're hoping to get done in that many number of minutes. And you can set whatever factors you want. And then if you aren't writing fast enough, if you haven't written enough words, or, you know, in, you know, if you've paused for too long, the screen will start to turn colors. And then, whenever you fall completely behind and you're failing, then it starts sending off warning alarms and it's playing loud noises and the screen will flash at you until you start picking up the pace again. And so it is a motivator to try and get you to just write. So that when you're sitting down to write a story or get down that novel that you've always wanted to write, it's a way that you're just motivated to just keep words flowing, and it doesn't matter if they're good or bad. You just have to keep words moving onto the page, which sometimes is what you need. And I find that it's super helpful for me. Mm-hmm. But the newest one I saw because I went to go find Ride or Die, and I saw a link for another one where it's the same kind of concept, except if you don't meet your goal and get enough words in the whatever time limit you set, it then erases it all and you can't save it.
Oh.
It like just deletes all the work that you just put in. So literally you either keep up with it or you lose all your progress. Like, that's drastic.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably not necessarily related at all to what you were talking
right,
about.
Right, not at all, but
you reminded me of that.
Yeah.
That drastic consequences.
All right, this next one's from Emily.
Oh, I like Emily.
Any tips for dealing with failure, but not feeling like one?
Oh, that is really tough. That is,
Bad day?
I guess it's just trying to view your failures, if you would even categorize them as failures.
Mm-hmm.
But the times when you didn't achieve what you wanted to or what you thought you should, it is a learning experience, and then you have to move on. I mean, it's like, literally, it's like, okay, well, that didn't work, but you know what? Next one will. And the hard part is that failure is disappointing, so you had a lot that you were imagining could come out of whatever it was. I mean, like, you know, if you've applied for a job that you really, really wanted, and you don't get it, you can consider that a failure, absolutely. And it's going to be disappointing, but if you know, I don't know if I'm giving good advice at all. I don't think I'm giving any advice at this point. It is just a matter of seeing it as, okay, just another opportunity to try harder, to do something different or better, or maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe this just wasn't the time and place, you know? Maybe you try a different venue and you go again. It is, again, it depends on the situation. I don't have good advice. I'm sorry. I don't. I'm terrible
at
this.
For me, I reminisce on a failure for a little bit and think of all the ways I can never do that again. And I try not to let the failures define my day.
Mm-hmm.
I try to make my successes over the day kind of overshadow the failures, and it's a very difficult thing to do, and I still have troubles with it to this day.
Or you beat Nick, my friend, and tear off a door in the middle of a play. And
you were there.
Excuse me?
They did Evil Dead the Musical last night, and the door, we didn't realize this wasn't supposed to happen. Nick just tore the door off the hinges. He like tried to open it the wrong way.
And he couldn't go back.
And it was like twisting and he couldn't get it to go the other way. And so he kept trying to work this and finally just tore the door off. I mean, it's just a stage prop. But he just completely tore the door off. And then so for the rest of the play,
there's no door there.
All right. The door is missing and they've got the door propped up in the room. So you can actually see the door and there's people hiding behind it. And so we thought, oh, this is part of the show. And then it's like, well, then, since there's no longer a door here, I suppose that we'll have to just use this chain to keep people out. I mean, it was a bit like the door was not supposed to break, and they improvised their way through it. And now every time someone had to go through this doorway, they had a chain that was hooked across it, like forming a little X across it. And so they'd have to unhook the chain, go through, and then rehook it behind them. And they played it off like this was all intentional. This was exactly how they planned it. I thought the door was supposed to break, and you could tell that there was a little hitch there in the action, so I thought maybe he broke it too early. But no, it wasn't supposed to break at all. And we're like, well, then what about the chain? Like, oh, the chain was supposed to be there so that they could chain the door shut eventually. But instead, they just used it as the door. And it was really, really good.
All right. And John, coming in clutch about 8 minutes ago.
Sweet. Go, John.
Says, crap, I just woke up from my nap. I missed it, didn't I? And I said, just in time, reading now. He's like, takes 5 minutes to respond. I hope you two had an Amazon day. Enjoy the weather outside. John, are you advertising Amazon in our listener betrayal?
Well, they do have a smiley face on every box, so
I mean,
it's a happy thing.
But I didn't know that John was, like, a sponsor.
Amazon brings me free Instant Pots, so I can't really complain.
Yeah,
that would be an awesome
guess,
Amazon sort of day.
Yeah. You know what, John? We will have an Amazon day.
Right. Well, at least I will. I don't have to go to work. So, is that it?
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, sweet. That was an excellent episode.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I'm telling myself. You know what? I try to look past my failures. And focus on the positive.
Is that why you ignore me most of the time?
Yes. Oh. All right. But you guys have been great.
Oh,
thank
sorry.
You. Oh,
hold
wait.
On.
There's one more?
Yeah, I got one from my coworker, Trey.
Oh, sweet. What's Trey have to say?
News has it that Russia is preparing its citizens for nuclear fallout as they will launch nuclear missiles if the U.S. attacks Syria again. Are you prepared?
Oh. I am, you know, I haven't actually looked. I haven't seen those news reports. I haven't looked to verify the veracity of that story. I'm going to guess it's mostly propaganda bullshit, but I don't know.
He follows it up with, got the coming of nuclear winter?
Oh, nice. All right. Nuclear winter is coming. It's the new Game of Thrones theme.
So. Gosh, could you imagine a post-apocalyptic Game of Thrones?
Good night, folks. It's been great. So, anyway, say goodnight, Eli. Say goodnight, Aiden.
Good night.
Say goodnight, Noah.
Good night.
He had to come up. He heard the goodnights coming. And R2?
Oh, wait, hold on. Sam just coming in at the last second right now.
Oh, Sam.
How can we see what's real if our eyes aren't real?
Whoa.
Good night, everybody.